Chapter 12. Zara. The hot sun rises on yet another day outside of the Arc of Radiance. I blink, pushing myself up from the sand as rays of light filter in from the entrance of the cave. Ash-covered embers smolder in our fire pit, sending up wisps of smoke to be carried outside, and already I can feel the temperature starting to rise. Another day living in desolation. Yawning, I brush the sand off my face and out of my hair, standing up and walking stiffly over to the exit. Owen is gone, but that isn't out of the ordinary. Bloody Ranger is always up at the crack of dawn and busying himself with some odd task or another. As I step outside, I can feel beads of sweat starting to prickle on my forehead. The landscape ahead is as hot and dry as an oven. Below, near the bottom of the ravine, I spy Owen crouching with his back to me, working fastidiously on something in the bushes. His clothing, like mine, is dusty and torn. He arches his back a couple times, his posture indicating he's sore, like he slept in the wrong position. Sighing, I head back into the cave, settling down next to the fire and attempting to nurse the embers back to life with a stick. The coals stir easily enough, and I feed them some broken twigs, the kindling bringing the fire back with a series of pops. Within minutes, I have a crackling blaze, and I turn to our meager stockpile, searching for something to eat. In addition to the strips of dried demon meat Owen had cured, we managed to find edible roots and tough little berries from the thorny bushes of this region. These we keep collected on a large flat stone near the back of the cave. It's been days since our fight with the manticore, and even with its considerable size, it's barely enough to sustain us. The meat he salvaged has almost all been eaten, and the roots and berries, though somewhat nourishing, are hard to come by in this harsh desert environment. Unfortunately, our stores have been mostly depleted. I pick up a few berries and let out another sigh, popping them into my mouth and leaning against the cool stone of the cave wall. At least we're still alive, I remind myself silently. Things could be much, much worse. No more demons have come to our little ravine since that first night, even though we've heard their howls in the night, echoing off the hills and keeping us awake. So far, we've remained safe. They don't seem to be as active during the heat of the day, and they look to be solitary creatures, never traveling in packs. Thank the light. I lose myself in thought for a time, resting in the shade of the cave and waiting for Owen to finish his self-imposed chores. After what feels like an hour, the ranger's apprentice makes his way inside, drenched in sweat and carrying a length of rope woven from the fibers of a thorn bush. He glances at me and forces a smile, then squats down and ties the rope into a series of knots.
Good, you're up. I need your help setting some of these traps.
I idly watch him for a few moments, trying to summon up the energy to start a new day of work. Owen has grown increasingly distant as of late, focusing more on ranger survivalism than exchanging pleasantries with me. The romance that we'd felt before we were captured seems to have been completely snuffed out, stifled by our exile in this harsh new world. Actually, I say, choosing my words carefully, I was hoping we could head back to the Ark. I'd like to try another way to create an opening. He grunts but doesn't look up from his work.
It's too dangerous, Zara. Besides, we need to get these traps set if we're going to get more food. There are rats out there, I've seen their tracks, but they're bloody hard to snare.
I feel a stab of annoyance at his tone, and I try not to let it show on my face. One of the quirks about the Ark failing is the randomness at which holes appear. They show up in all shapes and sizes, manifesting in odd places and times. Many demons, gorgons, and dark hounds wait daily along its perimeter, hoping for a way to get inside. This makes it extremely dangerous for us to get near the thing. The last time we went, we were almost discovered by a roving band of gorgons. Only Owen's quick thinking managed to save us from being captured, or worse, killed. "I still think it's worthwhile for us to try," I reply at length. "What's the point of surviving out here if we can't get back inside?"
"What's the point of dying from starvation while we're trying to figure out a way to get inside?"
Annoyance creeps into his voice, his tone carrying a hard edge.
"I want to get out of here just as much as you do, Zara. But we need to take the time to prepare. Besides, aren't you the one always talking about how the Ark is going to completely fail anyway?"
"We don't know when that will be," I huff in exasperation. "It could be tomorrow, it could be 6 months from now. That's what makes this situation so dangerous. Every day we spend in this wasteland is a day we could be preparing the kingdom for the inevitable." He grunts again and returns to his work, turning away from me and fiddling with the fibrous rope. Under his breath, I can hear him muttering something about work needing to be done. "Fine," I reply, forcing away all emotion and trying to think like a mage, purposeful and logical. "Arguing like this is stupid, and it doesn't accomplish anything. We can both get what we want out of the day. We just need to compromise." He glances over at me, but doesn't offer a response. "I'll help you with the traps and gathering water and whatever other inane chores you deem necessary. Then you'll come with me to take another look at the Ark this afternoon. Deal?" He hesitates, but finally nods.
"We'll have to hurry if we're going to get everything done, but deal. Let's get started."
I walk over to where he's crouched, taking the makeshift snares as he proffers them to me. My fingers, more nimble than his thick, calloused ones, are better suited for tying the miniature traps. While I work, he busies himself with the demon quill, using it to carve some wood. Time moves slowly as the day wears on, the heat of the sun radiating the hills and causing both of us to sweat profusely. I feel dirty, grimy, and hungry, but I spend most of my time inside my head as I labor, focusing my mental energy on how to get us out of this mess. Perhaps there's a way to manipulate the energies of the Ark, I think, going over the mechanics in my mind. If I could somehow trick the Ark, create some kind of disturbance in the flow of the radiant magic, then perhaps I could open up a hole at will. It would be risky. Dealing with a power as great as the Ark of Radiance is always risky without the aid of an artifice. However, we don't have much choice in the matter. Of course, all of this is pointless, unless I can somehow get my hands on a source crystal. That always seems to be the setback. A mage without a talisman is useless, like a knight without his sword. Disarmed, inadequate, powerless. I settle glumly back into the rhythm of work, walking along the narrow trails of our ravine and setting traps, while Owen shores up the defenses in our cave. They're menial tasks, but even I must admit that they're important for our continued survival. Hours pass, along with my patience, as we carry on. My fingers hurt from foraging for berries among the thorn bushes, and my back aches from constantly bending over, coupled with so many nights spent on the hardened ground. Owen, on the other hand, works like a draft horse, moving from one task to the next with a seemingly endless supply of energy. In truth, it's more than a little aggravating. Finally, Owen relents from his never-ending list of tasks and allows for the two of us to make the long trek to the edge of the Ark. We fill up on as much water as we can drink from the spring, then set off, hiking through the hills and sticking to cover as much as possible. We move slowly, cautiously watching for any signs of demons, but fortunately nothing jumps out at us. The big frightening manticores are nocturnal, and no gorgons or dark hounds are anywhere in sight. I find myself wishing that we could shelter closer to the ark. Then, if any gaps were to suddenly appear on its surface, we'd be able to quickly rush through. I remind myself that Owen wasn't exaggerating when talking about the dangers of being too close to the edge. Even if we were able to spot an opening within reach, chances are that there'd be demons attempting to get through as well. Yes, I think, walking behind Owen as we make our way into yet another small valley. We're going to have to figure out some other way for us to get back. We descend into the valley and begin climbing our way to the top, trudging through the brambles and over uneven terrain. More than once, I'm forced to hold on to his arm to avoid tumbling down to the unforgiving rocks below. When we finally reach the top, I can see the vast dome of energy rising before us, signaling the end of our journey. "I'm going to scout ahead," Owen whispers as we crouch down behind a boulder. "I'll make sure the coast is clear. Wait here for me to get back." "All right," I reply, settling down behind the great dusty stone. He pulls out his quill dagger and sets off, slinking silently toward the ark like a shadow, moving from cover to cover. I comb my fingers through my tangled, filthy hair as I wait, nervously praying that no demons are lurking about nearby. Light send that the way is safe. I'd hate for this miserable trip to be wasted. Something shifts in the valley below, and a bit of movement catches my eye. Turning toward the source of the disturbance, I catch a glimpse of something moving not 20 paces away, ghosting through the brush like a wraith. "Light almighty," I whisper, picking up a rock and clutching it close to my chest in fear. "What was that?" For a moment there's only silence. Then I hear a sound, like a beast, creeping around the gully, disturbing brush and crumbling rocks. I hold up my improvised weapon as if to throw it, waiting for a dark hound or some other monstrosity to lunge out from its hiding place. But instead, a slight figure emerges from behind a cleft in the hill. My eyes widen, my jaw dropping in surprise. It isn't a dark hound, or any other type of demon. It's a boy, perhaps 14 or 15 years old. The youth is dressed in strange sackcloth garb, and has long dark hair hanging loosely about his shoulders. He moves like a wild thing, his body tensed as if ready to scurry off at a moment's notice, and though he's still a good distance from my position, I can see that he carries no weapon, only a satchel filled with an assortment of plants. Glancing up, he sees me crouching on the hill above him and freezes, staring at me with eyes that appear to be just as surprised as mine. Time seems to stand still, the two of us gawking at each other. He briefly looks as if he's about to speak. Then Owen's voice calls out from behind me. "We're safe for now," he declares without fear of being overheard. "There doesn't seem to be any demons around here." The youth bolts, dashing behind some rocks and vanishing from sight.